Father, we come before you, Lord. Lord, we're looking to for you to come, Lord, and anoint your word, anoint me as a speaker, Lord, to be able, Lord, to speak to the people and bring them encouragement and uplifting, dear God, and help, Lord, in this day and time that we live in. Lord God, you know all things, you know everything about each one of us. You know what we have need of. I pray, Lord, that you'll direct me, Lord, along the paths and the needs of the people tonight. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. What I want to speak on is making your calling and election sure. Making your calling and election sure. Verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and have and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shewed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the exceeding excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and when we were with him in the holy mount, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. You may be seated. Now, God meets with men in council in many different numbers. Sometimes God will meet with men in great numbers. Sometimes in small numbers. He met one time with 500, met another time with 70, then one time with 12. He's met with three and even one. And that's what makes him so real. God, it's not the number of the people in the congregation that tells us whether God is here or not. But it's the attitude of the people that are in the number. Our attitude says a lot. And if we've got the right attitude, then we can set the right atmosphere in the church to bring about all manner of things, deliverance, salvation, healing. It's like you take a egg from a chicken and you put it in an incubator, and the heat from the incubator will hatch the egg because it's the atmosphere, the environment that brings about and hatches the egg. And so the right atmosphere in the congregation amongst the people having the right attitude will bring Christ on the scene. You want Christ in your services? Then come with the right attitude and be praying and preparing yourself. And when you get here, don't sit and just wander around and count the lights or whatever, or admire the ceiling. But, you know, let's be in prayer. Read your Bible. And many times I have found while I was reading, whether I was reading out of a message book or the Bible or whatever, that many times something I picked up and started reading while I was sitting in the pew, that the minister got up and said something about it. And that just always just really strikes you, because you're like, oh, God knew what I was doing, you know, and it lets you know God cares about you. Many times people say, well, we had a conversation. We were talking about this very thing that you brought out. That's showing you God's listening. You know, it wouldn't do you no good if I was listening. I'm just a man. But it shows you God's listening. That God can, through, take something that would be impossible for me to know and speak it right out. And you know that I couldn't have known. But then you know it had to be God. And so the Bible says, Jesus said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into the condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And we know that God came down on Mount Transfiguration and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. So he said, if you hear him, hear his words, and believe on the one that sent him, then you have everlasting life, not coming to the condemnation. You have passed from death unto life. That's past tense. It means it's a work already done. It's already finished. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of peace was upon him. With his stripes we were healed. So all that's past tense. It's already done. It's a finished work. If you were to ask God, God, heal me tonight, he's already done it. If you were to ask Jesus, save me tonight, he's already done it. When he died on the cross, he paid the price, and he said, it's finished. He testified himself, said, it's finished. What was finished? The whole redemptive plan was finished. You sat here tonight totally redeemed. You may sit in a body because we haven't received our new body yet. We're sitting still in that old body that's dying. But the man on the inside of that body, the woman on the inside of that body has been redeemed. And because you've been redeemed, then it shows there is going to be a body waiting on you when you leave this body. And so he can't do something that he's already done. All that's left for you to do is accept it. He's already died for you. He's already redeemed you. The salvation's already there. So it isn't, the only thing is for you to do is accept it. And then stand on God's word and drink from the fountain. He's the inexhaustible fountain of life. It's going to continue to come forth. It's an inexhaustible fountain. There's no end to it. It's infinite. And so, meaning we can just keep drinking from that fountain. And by drinking from that fountain, I mean putting ourselves in the word. Read the scriptures. Listen to the messages. I tell you, friends, many times people get to where they don't listen to the prophet. Look, he was the messenger sent for our age, not me, not some other man, but he was. I've got nothing to preach except what he said. And because he brought the word, God sent the word through him. And he's left that word here for us. And so the message doesn't belong to any one person or any one group. It belongs to the bride. Belongs to the bride of Christ. He died, Jesus died on Calvary for every sin that had ever been committed and every sin that ever would be committed. So there's nothing that you do that you say, well, that got beyond it. No. God forgives you because it's based on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's what purchased it for us, is the shed blood. But you've got to make it your personal property. It's got to be your personal faith that it's a finished work. Making your calling and election sure. How do you do that? It's by realizing God called you. Realizing the Father called you. That's why you came. You didn't come because Jerry Browning called you or Phil Bontrager, or you didn't even come because William Branham called you. You came because the Father called you. Listen, this will settle it. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draweth him, and all that the Father's given me will come. And so that says that if you've received that call and came, that shows, that shores up in your being your election. It shows you're elect. It shows you are the elect people. Because God, because he done this, and that should settle it. So when the devil comes and tries to say, well, you know, maybe you're not one of them. Maybe you're not. You know, people are expecting this out of you, or they're expecting that. You don't know if you can live up to it. It ain't about that. If God called you, then that means you belong to him, which means it's a finished work. It's already done. You've already passed from death unto life. And you've already overcome the devil. But you just got to go through the motions. He's already been defeated for you. Say, well, how can I make it? You make it by the Spirit of God. Jesus sent back the Spirit, the Comforter, to us. So you get the Holy Ghost, and it's a tutor. Now, a tutor means a teacher. And Brother Branham gives the example that how that in the Bible, a son, a father takes and puts a teacher over that son to teach him all the ways of the Father. The thing is, you realize when you're being taught, it doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Sometimes you make mistakes. Sometimes you sin. You know what sin is? Brother Branham brought it out and he said, sin's not smoking cigarettes. Sin's not committing adultery. Sin's not taking the name of the Lord in vain. Brother Branham said, he said this one time in a congregation. He said, and there was a woman sitting on the front pew. He said, kind of got next to her. She said, pray tell me what is sin. And he said, sin is unbelief. Sin is what brought about sickness. There would be no sickness if it hadn't been for the fall. But the fall came about because of sin, because of unbelief. And that brought about sickness. So you can't preach salvation for the soul without preaching redemption for the body as well. Divine healing for the body. Now, there was those that believed that God doesn't heal today. That was something in the past. They believe that he saves, but they don't believe in divine healing. Well, see, the devil's just turned the tables on them. Because when Jesus was here, they believed he could heal. But they said he maketh himself to be God in that he thinks he can forgive sin. So the devil just turned the tables on them. But divine healing was purchased in the redemption. And so divine healing, it's already a finished work. All you got to do is go through the motions. All you got to do is believe and you can be healed. There was a young lady that came up to be prayed for when I was in Ohio. And the last service that I was there, we had many people come up to be prayed for. I prayed. It took me longer to pray for everybody than it took me to preach. And I got a testimony back just yesterday. There was a sister, a young lady come up to be prayed for, and the doctors had put her on antidepressants, and they were causing her a lot of problems. And it was actually having a bad effect on her. And so she come up and asked me for prayer, and I prayed for her. And you know, because I believe the things that I went through, I knew how to get a hold of God for her. I knew how to pray for her. And she quit taking the medication and said she never felt better in her life. So God healed her. And he's still a healer. It isn't something that he's got to do. He's already done it. All you got to do is accept it. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything. There's nothing that he doesn't know. He knew all about you. He knew everything you would do from the time you were born up until this very day. He not only knows that, but he knows what you'll do tomorrow. He knows what's going to go on the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, all the way into eternity. Because he's infinite. He's the infinite God. And he knows all about me. He knows all about you. Friends, that's how he can foreordain things to work to his good pleasure. Because he already knows by foreknowledge. And he can predestinate because he already knows. He knows everything about everybody. There's nothing you do that God scratches his head at and says, boy, now that surprised me. There's nothing you do that surprises him. He knew all about it. That's why he could say before Esau and Jacob were even born, he said he hated Esau and loved Jacob. Why? Because he knew what Esau was from the beginning. You see, Esau was not a seed of God. And so that's why Esau didn't have any love for the birthright. That's why he didn't have any desire for God. He was serpent seed. And he came through a child of God. But remember, the lions got all mixed up back in the time of Cain and Seth. And the lions got all mixed and intermingled to where they didn't know who was what. But God knew what you would be. Therefore, he could call you because he already knew. because he knew who you were. Remember, there'll be many that'll come to that day and say, have I not done all these mighty works in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. But God knows you. And he knew the very day he would call you. He knew the very day that salvation would come to you. And it didn't matter who raised you. It didn't matter how you was raised. Didn't matter who your mom and daddy was. Brother Branham said, a child of God can be born from two of the most awfulest people in the city. That natural lineage has nothing to do with it. It's the spiritual lineage. If you come from God, you're going to go back to God. And so you may, because we're born in sin, is why that you find yourself in need of salvation. You find yourself to where you're doing things that aren't right. Because you're born in sin, the Bible said, and shaped in iniquity. And you came into the world speaking lies. You ever wonder why you don't have to teach a child to lie? But see, God, no time did man ever seek God. It wasn't Adam saying, Father, where art thou? It was God walking through the garden saying, Adam, where art thou? So God sought you out. That shows you who you are. What am I talking about tonight? I'm giving you word to make your calling and election sure. That means steadfast. That means firm. In other words, you know that you know. That's what Peter was talking about making sure. Not making sure that whether you're a child of God or not. No, you make it sure by realizing it was God the Father that called you. And that identifies you, shows who you are. Because the Father won't call any that don't belong to him. That's why you can find people that you can talk to about the word and about God, and it don't seem to have an effect on them. It doesn't seem to have any pull on them. Or if there's any pull at all, it's towards some kind of socialized gospel where they can do whatever they want, wear whatever they want, act however they want, and still feel like I'm saved. You see, there's some people say, I'm looking for God, but that's the kind of God they're looking for. But friends, Jesus is love. But he loves his own. It shows it by him saying that before either boy was born, he hated Esau and loved Jacob. He loves his own. When you realize, I mean, there's some people that I've talked to that some don't believe in predestination and they kind of stumble at that scripture a little bit, you know. It doesn't seem fair. How could God not give Esau, even give him a chance? Esau was given an opportunity, but God knew what he'd do with it before he was ever even born. And God knew what you would do with your opportunity before you were ever born. God knew on the very day and the very time and the very hour that he would call on you, and he knew when you would respond to it. And that same God knew you'd be sitting here tonight to hear his word that makes your calling and election sure. Hallelujah. Man, I ain't even got into my notes yet. Whew. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, the sign that God's with you is not material things. One time I heard a sister say, well, I know the Lord's with me. Look at all the things we have. We've got a good car, and God's given us a good house, and I'm not doubting God didn't give those things to them, but that's not how they knew God was with them. You don't know God's with you because of material things. Because there's many in the world that have great material things, but God ain't with them. David said to God, how come the wicked are spread forth like a great big bay tree? And God said to David, he said, have you ever considered their end? Yes, sir. So it's not the natural things is a sign of God's blessing. It's the spiritual. And that's what we need. That's what we need today is people that'll be spiritual. Brother Branham said there was people that come into the meetings and because of their faith, they got healed. He said, but they weren't spiritual enough to go on with God. I've seen that happen. I've seen God heal people. You know, it's hard to understand when God heals you from something that's certain death, how you can turn around and walk away from it. You know, and then say bad things about the church or about the pastor. Well, who did God use anyhow? Who did God use anyhow? He used right here. You know, you'll have people that don't even come to church here. Some people you know, maybe sometime in your neighborhood or somewhere, or somebody that you have contact with, and they'll say, hey, can y'all remember me in prayer? Have the church pray for me. Why? They got confidence because something has happened before. Something about your life has given confidence that, hey, this is a person that can get a hold of God. But does that ever change them? Many times, no. You would think if they had you pray for something and then God came down on the scene and made it happen, that they would say, buddy, I'm going to that church. But they don't. Brother Jewel, God bless him, one time said, they want a lover but not a husband. They want a benefits from God, but they don't want to marry him. It doesn't matter what clothes you wear. Clothes ain't what makes a person. It don't matter what you've ate. It doesn't matter what you drive. None of those things are going to go into glory anyhow. What matters is what's on the inside of you. That's the very thing that's going to go into glory. That's the person I'm talking to tonight. I'm not talking to your flesh sitting there. Because I'll tell you something. I've said this before. And other people heard me say it. I don't care about your flesh. When it comes to your soul and your flesh, I care more about your soul. I would rather see somebody's soul saved than their life be saved. Because I know I'll see them again. Amen. Because if they're saved, that I know where they're going. And I know I've got a ticket to go to the same place. Hallelujah. Whew. I'll tell you what, it's a free ticket. It's already been paid for. Amen. The trip to heaven's already been paid for. Now boarding. And they'll call out in the airport, now boarding. Last call for boarding. I've had it where the last call for boarding, I was the one running for the plane because I had a connecting flight, you know, and the other flight, the first flight got delayed, so I didn't have time hardly to get to the second flight. And happened to me a couple of years ago. I thought I was going to die. I thought I'm never going to make it. My legs got to hurting me and got to cramping up, and I knew I couldn't stop. My brother was with me. He grabbed my bag and carried my bag, and it was all I could do to carry myself. But we made it. My friends, I believe we're at a time now when it's the last call. I believe we're getting the last call. Now calling boarding for the last time. We're running out of time. I don't want to miss that flight, do you? Praise God. Hallelujah. What comes into the presence of God? Brother Branham said, somebody say to me, well, God don't want me. I ain't worth nothing. Brother Branham talked about, many of y'all heard the message, read the message, so whether you recall this right off when I say it, but he talked about going to this place. I guess it was some place, a scientific place or something, and it said a 150-pound man, was the material he was made up out of was equal to 84 cents. Worth 84 cents, 150-pound man worth 84 cents. Brother Bram said, and they'll take and they'll put on a $200 coat on 84 cents, a $50 hat on 84 cents. And he was standing there looking at this, and there was another two men that walked up, and the one said to the other, buddy, we ain't worth much. And Brother Branham turned to him and he said, your body isn't, but your soul is worth a million worlds. See, that's why I care about the soul. That's what God, hey, your body ain't worth but about 84 cents. Maybe with inflation, it's went up above a dollar by now. But your soul is worth 10 million worlds. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we're dependent on grace. You know, Elijah, when it was coming the time for God to take him, God had to call a replacement for him. There had to be somebody pick up the mantle. And, you know, remember there was a school of the prophets. There may have been some of them thought, I'll be the one to succeed Elijah. God will use me. I'm, you know, in the school of the prophets. But God chose a boy who was out plowing and called him. And then Elijah done everything he could in his power to try to discourage him. He said, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. He said, well, if you see me when I'm taken up, then you'll get it. But then he done everything he could to try to discourage him. Stay here, stay there, you know. He said, no, I'll not leave you. I'm going to see you when you're taken up. I'll not leave you. Wherever you go, I'm going. But God knew before Elijah was ever born, God knew that he was going to raise up Elisha to take over in the place of Elijah. God already knew it. God already knows who is who. The other day, you're laughing at this, Brother Fields. The other day, Michael said to me, he said, Papa, when you die, will Brother Phil take over pastoring the church? I said, well, first of all, I don't plan on dying. Second of all, Brother Phil's older than me. Not that that matters, means anything. I was just joking around with him, you know. You know, he said, when you die, will Brother Phil take over pastoring? Well, he's a thinker. Anyhow. But God, God in his infinite wisdom, God called you. Now, I look in the pages of God's word, and that tells me how things are going to turn out. I don't look around at what's going on, you know, necessarily in the world or in politics, and that to tell me how this thing's going to come out. Because No matter how much it looks like it might come out one way, it's going to come out the way God intended it to come out. You know, and, you know, there's a, not getting political, but there's a great movement among the people that just hate President Trump. You know, I've never seen such hatred. But I can tell you what, if God has ordained for him to win the next election, then I don't care who they raise up and what they try, he'll win. Because whoever the man is that God wants to be in there at any given time is the one's going to be in there. And when the right one, God puts, he at some time, God's going to put the one in there that's going to be in there when this whole thing comes to an end. And whatever they do, man or woman, whatever they do, they can't do nothing except what God allows them to do. So everything's going to be the way God intended it. That ought to be an encouragement to you. Nothing can go wrong. You know, when we first start out in our Christian walk, and I've been there, you know, and when I started pastoring here, you know what the devil started telling me right away? You're going to fail. Everybody before you's been here has failed. You're going to fail too. I was talking to Brother Tim Pruitt about it one time on the phone. He told me, he said, well, Brother Jerry, that's a good sign. And I said, why is that? And he said, because if he's telling you you're going to fail, it means you haven't. So that's a good sign. But everything's going to work out just exactly right. Nothing can go wrong. If you're ordained, you're going to make it. In spite of yourself. Because, friends, in this flesh gets full of doubts. This flesh is born of sin. This flesh is born of unbelief. This sin, it's a testament of unbelief, you know, because it dies. Eve disbelieved in the beginning, brought about what we're living in. One day, I'm going to change tabernacles. As Peter said, I'm going to put off this tabernacle like the Lord did. And I'm going to put on the new tabernacle. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm depending on grace. You know, we read there in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, we read where it was saying that Peter quoted what happened on Mount Transfiguration. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Peter just didn't go on to say, hear ye him. But when they stood there, there was Elijah and Moses. You remember that? Peter said, it is good for us to be here, Lord. Let us build a tabernacle to Elijah and one to Moses and one to you. Showing how man thinks. But then it spoke and said, this is my beloved son. While Peter yet spake, the Bible says, behold, a voice come from heaven and said, this is my beloved son, whom I well please, hear ye him. Now there stood Moses. Moses represented the law. No man can be saved by the law. No man can make it by the law. No man has ever kept the law except for Jesus Christ. So I don't want the law, because by the law, every man's lost. There's no one saved by the law. Brother Bram said in another place, he said, the law is a policeman. All it can do is put you in jail. And then on the other side was Elijah. And you remember when Elijah was sitting there and this king sent his captain down there with 50, and they come down there to take Elijah, and Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down of heaven and consume you. And fire came down, consumed them all. So, well, they must have thought, well, that's just a coincidence, a freak of nature or something. So he sent another captain with another 50. to come down there. And Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down out of heaven and consume me. And fire came down out of heaven and consumed him. Elijah stood there representing God's justice. I don't want justice. I don't want justice because, friends, justly I deserve to go to hell. I don't want God's justice. What I want is mercy. That's what I cry for, is mercy. I'm dependent on God's grace. I'm not dependent on the law or the justice. What I'm dependent on is God's grace. And what I cry out for is mercy. And what I plead is the blood. Amen. Because it's the blood that cleanses us. Amen. Hallelujah. In a message entitled The Debate on Tongues, Brother Branham says this. He said, I certainly don't want to be wrong. I'd better be right here because it's too late when I get there. As the old color brother said, I don't want no trouble at the river. So that's right. He says it's going to be a foggy morning and then an awful time, and I sure want my ticket in my hand correctly signed because it'll be too late then, you see. Want to be ready. That's why we're making our call and election sure. You know that you know that you know that you know. Because God wouldn't have called you. The Father would not have called you to lose you. Say, am I going to be able to do this? All things are possible through Christ. I didn't think, you know, when I become a Christian, you know, the devil's there to tell you, this ain't going to last. You wait and see. Here it is, 2019, I'm still around. Oh, I've faltered along the way. I've made mistakes. I've had times where I had to make things right. I've had times where I had to apologize to people. I've had times where, you know, I had to get on my knees before God and, you know, and cry for mercy. But I'm still here. You're still here. You could have been somewhere else tonight, but you're here. You say, well, I'm not sure why I came, because God ordained for you to be here. That's why you're here. You might think this little situation here is what brought me here, or that little situation there is what brought me here. No, you're here because God wanted you here. He wanted you to hear this tonight to make your calling and election sure. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a baptism on Sunday. Amen. We're going to set it up outside out here. And we're going to have a baptism. Brother Seth called me and he wants to get baptized. So the water's going to be ready. So Brother David said maybe we should put out a sign, you know, to advertise. You want to get saved and come be baptized, you know. And the water's ready, you know. We got it ready. So we'll have the water ready on Sunday. And we're looking forward to that. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we're grateful tonight for your word. Lord, we're grateful, Lord, to for how you, Lord God, have just settled this. God, you just give us such confidence, Lord, that no matter what Satan says, we've got a confidence because the Father drawed us. And you said that all that come to me, that you would not lose a one. Lord, you won't lose a one. Every one that the Father's draw will be saved. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that assurance tonight, Lord. Lord, we're looking forward to the time of the rapture, to leave this old world behind. Lord, what a hallelujah shouting time we're going to have. Lord, we're really looking forward to it, Lord. We We want to keep our mind and our eyes, our spiritual eyes, we want to keep them focused on the goal at the end. Lord, I ask you to bless your people tonight, Lord, and we give you praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.